Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, indeedy, they are wolves that should be prayed for, but at the same time called out. This is Wretched Radio. Had a little sale here at Wretched over the weekend. It was our, what did we call this thing? The flying high. We want to buy a jet. We're moving sale. Something like that. Whatever it was. We are moving our offices.
We are wordy, aren't we?
Well, you know, these days you want to cover all bases. Apparently that's what the marketing gurus
would be bad.
Whatever those are, would say. We're moving basically across the street into more offices. We have to move the warehouse. We would prefer to not schlep about a bunch of stuff. So we're having a sale. And we had a few pictures on the website. One of Jesse Duplantis, Ken Copeland standing with their private jets. And some people, they wanted to bring some balance to the conversation, which I appreciate. I do believe that when we see evil people, we can recognize, but by the grace of God go I. I could have been Adolf Hitler. Just God's kindness. I get that. But there is something wrong without pointing a finger, of not pointing a finger at Adolf Hitler and saying, well, that was evil. That was horrific. There were some people who tried to bring some balance to our mocking of these men who fly around the globe in private jets, presumably bringing the gospel when they bring nothing but false teaching, to say, hey, we just need to pray for these guys. No, we don't just need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. They better get saved, lickety-split. We can also pray, I believe, that God would remove them if they do not repent. Get them out of these positions where they bilk people, they hurt people, people get sick, people die from these teachers. And if we can't point to that and go, that's wicked, that's awful, that's something's just wrong. I think we maybe ricocheted into the opposite ditch. We don't want to just be carping. Yeah, we should have some pity for them, but not without righteous indignation. Speaking of
righteous indignation,
church stuff, well, you can determine if you need to be or not. This just, if nothing else, this will elicit a violent eye roll, so don't blame me for the headache. There's a church, what do you know, it's in Minnesota. In order to get fathers to attend their church, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear about this?
Is this the Minnesota UMC conference?
United Methodist Conference?
Yeah.
No, but Jeff Sessions is a Methodist, quoting the Romans 13. Yeah. No, not that. What are you talking about?
Somewhere in the news this week, there will be a story of the UMC doing, trying to take God the Father and make him God.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They rewrote the creed.
Accompli. I think that they already took the Father out. God identifies as male, so I think we need to just go with that.
See,
use the pronouns that he prefers.
Is that hard?
It's not that hard. There's something for you to consider regarding God the Father. Why does he call himself that when he did not give birth to a son? We need to remember there are heavenly realities and there are earthly pictures. They're dimmer. They're frequently marred by sin. Nevertheless, we have things on earth because they exist in the heavens. Justice, judgment, punishment. Those are things, those are eternal concepts because God is moral and just. But we also see, I think, family, to a degree, resembles the Trinity. Not that you want to take the Father and say, well, he's the Father and the Son is the wife, because this is getting all goofed up now, and the children are the Holy Spirit. No, our fuzzy pictures only go so far, and I think this is one of those instances. The unity that exists inside of the family, the oneness that we have as a mother and a father and children, just heard this in a sermon yesterday. Do you remember when you first had a baby, madam?
Well,
CNN is,
there was that
CNN
Father's
is
Day
celebrating
thing on CNN.
A guy. That CNN is celebrating that a woman gave birth to a child, but she thinks she's a man. So now that she has the child, she wants her child to know that she's actually the daddy male.
Yeah, that one
or something. Nobody said this was easy to keep up with. At any rate, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one together. They are in unity together. And when God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, created male and female, created he them, there's a reason for it. Both image bearers of God. We image God, I think, as a family unit. That unity and that intimacy. You remember when you first had a baby, don't you? It was so profound. So deep. It's like, wow, flesh of my flesh, the intimate union that brought this about. I think that's just a dim picture of the unity that is inside of the Trinity to reflect his character and nature. Well, so it was on Father's Day in an effort to attract dads to come to church. Here's a church. We understand how hard it is to be a father in today's world. And if you're feeling like you've lost your joy, happiness, or sense of purpose, come get filled up this Father's Day at our church. We're giving away. Here it comes. Tina? So in order to have you sell your worldview or to get you to overcome your lethargy, a free 20-pound propane tank.
Well, there you are.
At all worship experiences. On Father's Day, to all first-time visiting dads, not to the ones that are already here. No, 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 no. We want to attract people. We want to get them to start coming to church, believing in Jesus Christ, because we think they might be willing to do that for a tank of gas. Furthermore, this worship experience business, it's a bad word. It's as bad a word as reckless, frankly. Why? Well, yes. Do we have joy in worshiping God? Of course we do. But it is about worshiping him, not what we feel during the service, what we experience. We are there to be dutiful and to worship God. That is why we were created as image bearers, to reflect him, to worship him, to be in right relationship with him. Which, by the way, reminds me of a Bon Jovi song. And the reason that I actually know this is not because I listened to the Bon Jovi fellow, but because I was at the gym, you could probably tell, working out, and Bon Jovi's up on the monitor. Now, I've got my little earbuds in, listening to, I don't know.
Earbud music?
Can I just tell you what I was given for Father's Day? Maybe one of the best, definitely one of the funniest gifts I've ever received. I received a framed, maybe you've seen this, if you've ever seen pictures of like Motown or Arista Records, RCA in the hallways, they've got
you went
like
platinum?
The album cover and the album. No, it was from Air Supply's first album. It was the actual framed with the Air Supply Lost in Love with the actual album framed so I can hang it on the wall. I'm sorry. It just tickles my fancy a little bit. It'll definitely be a conversation starter in my office. Just curious. The Air Supply on the, what would that? Well, it's a long, long story, and it goes back to stand-up comedy days. At any rate, I'm watching the John Bon Jovi preen around. He's got to be, what, pushing 60, right? He's mid-50s, isn't he? The John Bon Jovi? I would think so. And he's up there and he's, you know, he's trying to look all hip and cool with his groovy moves and what have you. And I thought, is this an old, you can't tell with all of the cosmetic surgery. I saw a picture of Roger Daughtry.
Daughtry.
I think the guy from Daughtry. Is that his name?
Chris new Daughtry. Record, like, yeah. Chris Daughtry is the guy from American Idol.
So something completely. He Roger looks young Daughtry because he is young.
Yeah. Richard Dalton.
And he is just not looking the way a 70-some-year-old man should look.
Well,
56.
They've been
56 is the Bon Jovi.
He's just a pup.
The Bon Jovi? Yeah.
To me, he's just a pup.
Look, at some point, you got to let it go. You got to. Nobody is escaping the hourglass of times.
It
marches on. And you're not going to escape it. You can't pull it back. You can't lift it up. You can't color and dye it to the. At some point, it's like, we just know you're old. And you're not fooling anybody with it. So the Bon Jovi, he's up on the screen. We'll get to this moral eventually. By the way, I was just handed a card. Uh-oh. It turns out I've got a little piece of information here. Do you know what it says on my little card?
Mm.
That's right. It's somebody's birthday.
Happy birthday to Tony.
No wonder why you think 56 is so young. So
well,
the Bon Jovi is singing this song. We weren't born to follow. Actually, John, that's precisely what we were born to do. Follow and worship as image bearers of God. Not that I expect to get good theology from a Bon Jovi video. This, happy birthday, Tony, is Wretched Radio.
Here at Wretched, we receive a lot of email. And to our surprise, some of them aren't angry. In fact, some are downright encouraging. We hear from people who've been saved or rescued out of a bad system or simply learn that the Bible is a coherent, profound, and practical book. So why do we share this with you? Simple, really. Because without you, we would never receive any emails at all, ever. Without your faithful, consistent, ongoing support, this Wretched ministry simply wouldn't exist. And that's why we want to say thank you to you. Thank you for partnering with us to bring the life-changing and eternity-changing good news to millions of people. So if I may, on behalf of all of us here at Wretched Radio and at Wretched TV, thank you. Thank you very much for your most generous support. And thank you for partnering with us to proclaim amazing grace.
These are the dulcet tones of Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
One of the most important things that the Tomorrow Clubs does is making disciples. As we all know, that's the Great Commission, and we see examples of that everywhere. We're thrilled that God allows us to bring children to Christ, but we see the importance of helping them become like Christ.
That is why Tomorrow Clubs are worthy of your consideration to support them on a monthly basis, $30, 30 disciples per month. It's not hit-and-run evangelism. This is embedded evangelism. The Christians in small towns bring the kids together for a weekly Tomorrow Club. They hear the gospel. These kids are getting saved, and then they continue to disciple them. $30, 30 disciples. If you would like to learn more, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
I think we could safely say most of television is a vast wasteland of no redeeming value. So now, reason number 442 to visit wretched.org. TV. Lots and lots of TV. See, Wretched has filmed over 2,000 30-minute TV programs with subjects that range from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics, all the way up to the events of today. And it's all free at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org. Each and every last one of our 30-minute TV programs is archived there, and there's the Wretched Library. That's where you'll find Wretched TV episodes that have been hand-sorted for you according to their content. Visit wretched.org. Boatloads of free TV and the Wretched Library, too. Wretched.org. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and its press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is what you're about to hear pleasant? No. Is it better than the alternative? Absolutely. This is Wretched Radio.
That's not exactly
doing everything possible
inspiring
to talk about anything but the thing that we are ultimately going to need to talk about if we're going to understand what's going on, perhaps tomorrow, which will give you another reason to not tune in. Going to work through the racial issue, trying to understand the other side. It's the least we can do, isn't it? It is difficult to argue against somebody with whom it appears you disagree if you don't thoroughly understand their position and represent their position correctly. And so we're going to endeavor to do that. Let's save it for tomorrow so that we can build up our strength, so that we can dive into where is all of this coming from? What's up with this intersectionality? Why do we see, for instance, lesbians and gay people giving a pass to Muslims, even though those very people throw them off of tall buildings for being gay? What? Why? What's happening here with the critique of all things white, particularly Christian male? You're going to be shocked. We're not going to do this now. I was sent a textbook, at least a chapter from a textbook, from a large Christian university. I'm not going to say its name, but let's just say they have a lot of liberty there. And it was a Christian counseling book. And it was all about racial issues and the systemic racism that is built into the fabric of our culture. And it's going to make you, I think, most likely it will make you frustrated, but we want to understand it so that at least then we can lovingly respond, okay, here's my understanding. This is what I'm thinking. Here's the problem with that. Let me show it to you. It's very difficult stuff to read. I was also reading another book. It's a thin one, but it's very small print, really smushed together, really done quite economically about 20 years ago now. Racial divide, I think, is what it's called. And it tries to lay out the sociological case that there is indeed systemic racism. I didn't see it that way, but trying to get their view and their perspective of how they go about the business of seeing things that way, we got to understand that. We have to understand that. We'll try to do that tomorrow. So in the meantime, you'll get this distasteful stacko stuff. California University, specifically UC Santa Barbara. Sounds nice, doesn't it? UC Santa Barbara. California University encourages parents to let their kids watch porn. Well, that's just great. They're now encouraging parents to let their children watch it because it's, quote, generally harmless. Really? That's like saying abortion is safe for the mother. Well, that might be. Doesn't do much for the baby. Have you seen that video? Can't show it because this is radio. Somebody just sent me a video to idea@wretched.org. Always grateful that you do that. 4 minutes of baby being conceived, like an inside, I presume this is all done with computer illustration, whatever it is that the kids call it these days. It's unbelievable. Just staggering to watch God knit together a human being in the womb. Wow. And how anybody can say, well, that's just a blob of tissue. Woo. Just really, really tragic. Which would give me the opportunity to remind you about preborn.org. No, I wasn't planning it, but I'm going to. Preborn.org, they give ultrasounds. They show for free. They show them for free. Look at, that's a baby sucking its thumb. A baby. It was so cool to see this video kick in, kind of playing around. That's what you feel, Mom. Baby's kind of like, well, I think I'm going to start exploring this a little bit. Start stretching these things out a wee bit. That's what you feel inside of you. It is a human being, and babies are being saved. So are mommies because of your support of Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. Porn is generally harmless, says UC Santa Barbara, and who can argue with the academics? By the way, Wait, maybe this is something that we could do instead of talking about the other thing. Phil Johnson actually delivered a presentation on worldliness. Maybe we've shared that before. I think we have, actually. That worldly, one way that we can be worldly is by desiring academic slaps on the back. That the secular world would say, hey, you guys aren't so stupid. You're really quite smart is what you are. And we desire that to the point that, well, we don't read Genesis the way that it's clearly written, if you know what I'm saying. The Santa Barbara says it's generally harmless for 4-year-olds to explore with one another. Hmm. In an article titled Talking to Your Child About Sex, parents are also advised not to lecture their children about it and should let them make their own decisions regarding sex. Why do we even have parents at this point? Give them the information and resources needed to make informed decisions. That's right.
4 years old.
I hate to say it. Yeah, I hate to
say
it.
Hey, morons on our team.
By 4 years old, cows are already, you know, full grown.
Exactly. But so are we any different from cows?
There's a hint of a difference, though.
We're
going to eat one.
That's the difference. We grill them. They don't grill us. We grill them.
Thank you.
It's a whole subjecting the planet and getting it under control and ordered. It's what our job is here, to eat cows. By the way, speaking of eating cows, guess what opened up here in Georgia?
A cow
eating Midwesterners
place?
Will think this is no big deal, but this is like you getting a Chick-fil-A. We got Culver's down here now. Very excited about the Culver's. Their barbecue sauce. Oh, forget about it. Their barbecue sauce. The article encourages parents to teach their kids that watching pornography is a normal habit. Quote, it is important that children understand that viewing porn is a normal habit and that they do not need to be ashamed of it. No, because we don't want any of that. We don't want parents. We don't want shame. We don't want any sexual mores. That's what we don't want. We don't want anything. We want a big blob of a planet. Just everybody, whatever. Let me know how that works out for you. There's a reason we're civilized now. They argue only the parents should ensure their kids use porn in moderation. Well, you know, you don't want it to be a time waster, the watching the pornography. This is our world. Mom and Dad, I hate to say it, but you probably do need to talk to your kids about this subject earlier than later. Sorry. The world is going to talk, and our kids are going to find it. They're going to get it on the school bus. They're going to get it someplace, but they are going to get it. And if you don't talk to them about it, then chances are the world system lie will win. Because it appeals to the flesh. Here's another world system lie. Did a tweet on this for Father's Day. Dads, don't let the world tell you that what you're doing isn't important because it is important. It's the world that goes, oh, Geyser, they're just a big doofus. It ain't important if there's a pop in the home. Yeah, actually, it is. Porn, morally acceptable among record number of Americans, especially Democrats, says George Gallup. That's very exciting. Do we need the statistics on that? No. But more and more people, because more and more people watch it. In fact, I will say this. Outside of genuinely born-again Christian men, genuinely born-again, the rate easily in the 90 percentile. That's my... Okay, so it's only in the 80th percentile, watching pornography. And even some born-again men stumbling all over the place. Take a look around. You go to the airport. See those people? They're flying. So they've got it all together. And chances are that man is watching porn. Should that scare us? Yeah, actually, it should scare us quite a bit, frankly, because it's really scary. Church sued for $2.3 million for not hosting LGBT event in building it owns. Uh-oh. There's a sign of the times. By the way, the Trinity Western decision was rendered up in California. Trinity Western University, they hold to one man, one woman, covenant relationship. That's it. Well, they aren't going to be accredited. It went to the Supreme Court of Canada. The Supreme Court of Canada said, nope, you do not have to accredit an institution that teaches heterosexuality as the norm. Wow. That's a little bit scary. So too is this story. Church sued for $2.5 million for not hosting an event in its very own building. Now, it happened to be Roman Catholic, but the world doesn't discriminate amongst Catholics and Protestants. Multnomah County Circuit Court in Oregon alleged the church's rules against them hosting the LGBT event caused them harm. And so they are seeking $2.3 million in damages. So the couple went to this Holy Rosary church and said, we want to host an event here. And they said, no can do. So they're suing them for $2.3 million. In other words, you will do as we say.
Or else.
We do not care so much about your freedom of religion rights. Mark my words, everybody in government will soon be talking like that, including at the DMV. Consider yourself.
They already do, don't they?
Well, when you finally get to the front of the line and they talk to you, this is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. God called the prophet Jonah to preach repentance in Nineveh. Jonah fled, but he could not outrun God. He was cast into the sea and swallowed by a great fish. Jonah repented, and God spared him. Jonah then preached in Nineveh, and they repented. God is compassionate and merciful, and he is calling men from all nations to repentance. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Oh, the agony of defeat when you've had a long day standing and walking. Oh, the agony of defeat. By the way, speaking of feet,
hello?
Did you know that in Great Britain, shoe sizes for both men and women have gone up two sizes? I did. You're welcome. They think it's because of weight gain.
Another thing to cross off my bucket list.
They're longer and they're wider. Anything else you'd like to know, just give me a holla. This is Wretched Radio spanning the globe to bring you a collection of cacophonous stories. Starting with, the reason that I know that, by the way, about Great Britain is because I went online to, I'm sorry for this, I'm trying to avoid the subject as much as possible, but I'm kind of steeped in it these days. I went online to see what the average height of a male is in Malaysia. It's 5.48. 5 feet, 4 inches, 0.8. So it's almost 5'5". 5'5 is the average. Got a question for you. So let's just say I immigrated to Malaysia. And then let's just say I went shopping for a suit. And let's just say I struggled to find a suit. And then imagine that I said, well, this is Malaysian privilege. Imagine that. Because that is what we are being told today. We'll tackle that tomorrow. First, around the globe we go. So somehow in looking for the average height of a Malaysian male, I found the foot size of British people. Two sizes longer. And by the way, I could be wrong about this, but I think Reasons to Believe heard about that and said, see, more evidence of evolution right there. Actually, they're still feet is what they are right there. Let's go to Ireland, shall we? You recall that now Ireland, at least the Republic, now doing abortions. Women celebrating in the streets. Our buddy Ludie Creech, who's still on furlough. Is it called furlough? Is that what it's called? When you
vacation?
Get a long break? Nah, it is, but he's traveling around, and you know he visits people and churches that support him. So he's traveling around, getting some vacation time with his family, well-earned. He's been in Ireland, going out in the streets. He's the double-decker red bus guy. He's the fellow that you see. He'll drive the big red bus into a town. People gather around to see the double-decker. They preach the gospel to him. Brill. Absolutely brill. Ludie Creech, they brought scones over for us the other day. Oh, I don't know if it was an Irish recipe, but they were awfully good. They had currants in them. Not like, you know, river flowing. Little red things. He sent me this article. These four deceptive tactics led pro-life Ireland to vote for abortion. I just thought this was worthy of our consideration because these are the lies that get propagated to continue to promote abortion. Pretend abortion is a solution. They claimed it saves women's lives. However, the United Nations ranked Ireland as one of the safest places in the world for a mother to have a baby. So without abortion being legalized, it's one of the safest places in the world for a mom to have a baby. But the pro-abort said, oh, so many women are dying in childbirth. Lie. Exploited. Stories of rape victims. How can we possibly expect that woman to give birth to that human being because it was conceived in a wicked manner? Well, the answer is because it's a human being. And we should focus on the criminal, not the child. Act as though it's inevitable. You know, Ireland's just behind the times. We're seen as rubes to the rest of the globe. We're going to be on the wrong side of history. You don't know what the right side of history is until you get there, and you never do. You need an objective source. It's called the Bible. Not whims, not fancies, not Gallup polls, not arguments that supposedly shame us for being not progressive. Define progressive. If you mean going backwards, then yes, this is very progressive. The Catholic Church, antiquated views. Look at all of the homosexuality in the Catholic Church. True, has nothing to do with the issue. They undermined any discussion of abortion and what it actually is. Abortion campaigners also made much of the fact that a small number of women currently travel from Ireland to the UK to undergo abortions. And so, hey, we need to accommodate those women. Otherwise, we're losing that business, which is precisely what this is. Call it anything but what it really is. You call it a termination. It's an implanted embryo. It creates psychological distance between the abortion activists, what they're campaigning for, and what it really is. Oh, it's not such a bad thing. It's actually pretty good. It's just an implanted embryo. The abortion campaign focused on abortion as a means of achieving bodily autonomy. Please get a copy of Life is Best, available at wretched.org. I do believe we tackle that issue thoroughly in one entire episode, the bodily autonomy issue. It's my body. I'll do whatever I want to it. That's not true. You don't get to speed with your body. You don't get to hack somebody into pieces with a chainsaw with your body. There's a lot of law. You need to cover up your body when you go out in public, at least now. Minimize the consequences. The abortion campaign refused to acknowledge that as a result of this referendum, actual human lives will be violently ended, specifically the babies. You know, as long as we're in Great Britain, somebody sent this to me, idea@wretched.org, and this may sound a little extreme to you. You need to understand Hyde Park. It's called Speaker's Corner. This is where people go. This is the rule. This is what this whole place is about. You get up on your soapbox and let her rip. And so you've got Muslims, you've got Christians, you've got everything in between, activists, rights groups, PETA, whatever. They're all there preaching. So it's chaotic. And that's what you're going to hear. It's chaotic. But this was sent to me, and I have to confess to you, I just enjoyed this so much because the fellow who's doing the open-air preaching is an older gentleman, and he's wearing a suit and tie. Way to go, dude. Out in public, preaching about the blood.
The only way that God can pardon sin is on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for the remission of sin.
Now, a lot of people advised him to put on some skinny jeans and say, hey, why don't you come to our church? We'll give you a fuel tank of 20 pounds of propane gas or whatever that shenanigan was.
It is God himself who has put away our sin by the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. God himself has put away sin. It is God who has given himself in Jesus Christ for the remission of sin.
If and you happen to be one of those people who says, oh, nobody's going to get saved from that. Are you kidding me? That's precisely what people will get saved from. If you think, water it down, dumb it down. Don't talk about the blood. Let's unhitch the blood from the New Testament. And the Old Testament, apparently, because that wagon is already trailing behind in some churches. At any rate, This is precisely what people need to hear. And if God is indeed doing what he claims to be doing, which is convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment by the power of the Holy Spirit through the proclaimed Holy Spirit-inspired word, this is exactly what gets people saved. And even if people walk by, I roll, oh, that old story. Yep, that old story.
And the only way that your sin can be pardoned is through the blood of Jesus Christ.
You go,
Jesus
sir.
Christ shed his own blood for the forgiveness of sin. Your repentance will not take away your sin. Otherwise, you have a very low view of God. If you think that your good works, if you think your fasting, if you think your prayer, if you think that your works to charity can take away sin, you're mistaken, because you have a wrong view of God. God is an infinitely holy God, and one sin in the sight of God, however small that sin may be, keeps you out of heaven, keeps you out of paradise. And only when you see sin as God sees it, worthy and punishable by everlasting separation from him, then you'll begin to see what God really is. God even had someone put to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. You say that's a bit severe, that's a bit much, to be stoned to death for gathering sticks on the Sabbath. That's to show you how holy God is.
Amen.
Those of you who believe you can commit a sin and then pay for the sin by your good works, you have no idea of the justice of God. You have no idea of the infinite holiness of this God with whom you have to do. And you're going to have to stand before this God. And you're going to have to give an account of yourself to this God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that's why it's a serious matter. Your soul hangs in the balance. And only Jesus Christ can save that soul. There's only one Savior of sinners, Savior of the world, and it's Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. That is a faithful preacher right there. And right now, I could blow it by sharing this last story of a woman who claims to see Jesus on a crab shell after God spoke to her, but not going to do that. Just going to leave it with God's word being proclaimed by a faithful preacher. Well done, sir. This is Wretched Radio. You can't see this because it's radio, but I can. I'm looking at an adorable little baby girl who is alive because her mother visited a preborn center desiring an abortion because her boyfriend, who happened to be married with two children, was pushing her to have an abortion. She saw an ultrasound provided by you for just $28, and now I'm looking at this beautiful, adorable little girl. Would you like to save a little girl, a little boy? You can do that with preborn.org/wretched, a ministry that provides free ultrasounds, clothing, food, vitamins, training for women who are in crisis. And here's the whipped cream with the cherry on top. They preach the gospel to them. If that sounds like something you'd like to support, and I can't imagine you wouldn't, preborn.org/wretched.
And now an erudite moment from Wretched. And yes, I googled that. Means we're smart. Cue the music. Come take a look through the Wretched online store. We can promise it'll be fun and not be a chore. You won't believe all the products that you can simply score. With so many awesome biblical resources, you'll only want more. Is this annoying you yet? Do you want me to stop? Then all you have to do is hop on your desktop. Scroll through multiple pages of products and simply shop till you drop. We guarantee you'll find something that will make you holler from your rooftop. Wow, this rhyming thing a lot tougher than it looks in the Dr. Seuss books. Just go visit Wretched's online store, and I promise I won't do this rhyming anymore. Dope. Okay, I mean now, starting now, no more rhyming. Promise. Visit wretched.org today. Wretched. Amazing grace.
Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What is intersectionality, you ask? This is Wretched Radio, and this is Ben Shapiro.
Intersectionality is a form of identity politics in which the value of your opinion depends on how many victim groups you belong to. At the bottom of the totem pole is the person everybody loves to hate, the straight white male. And who's at the top? Well, it's very hard to say, because new groups claim victim status all the time. No one can keep track. So, how does this intersectionality thing play out? Something like this. Let's say you're a gay white woman. Your opinion matters, but less than that of a gay black woman. Why? Because while all women are oppressed by the patriarchy, and all gays are oppressed by the heterosexual majority, blacks have a victim status that whites obviously don't. Of course, a gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman, and so on. The more memberships you can claim in oppressed groups, the more aggrieved you are, and the higher you rank.
You tracking that? That's intersectionality. You identify all of the different aspects of your person that are not white, European, Christian, male, and that gives you another intersection, another mark, which makes you more and more and more oppressed. This has been taught on university campuses now for decades.
Get it? Good, because it's about to get even more complicated. Intersectionality takes your victim status and uses it as the basis for creating alliances with other victim groups. 30 or 40 years ago, activists encouraged racial solidarity among blacks to combat oppression. But today, that's not enough. Today's activists demand blacks make common cause with other allegedly oppressed people, gays, lesbians, transgenders, Palestinians, Native Americans, whomever. Here's the logic. A black gay and a Hispanic gay may not belong to the same victim group racially, but they do belong to the same victim group on the basis of their sexuality. By focusing on the places where various victim identities intersect, intersectionality creates a united us versus them paradigm, righteous victims rising up together to fight the oppressor, those dreaded straight white men. This explains why at a rally protesting the treatment of Palestinians by Israel, you might see a contingent of lesbian activists. That's intersectionality at work. They're so united by their victim status that it doesn't matter if Islamists throw gays off of buildings or murder female family members who defy their father's wishes. Victim solidarity trumps all other considerations.
I might suggest there's something else at play there when we consider that this battle is in the heavenly realms. This is a light darkness battle that is going on. This is to undermine any family structures. Family is God's idea. Family is something that is a key component to a culture. Sex, intimacy, gender issues, all very biblical. And all of these movements are intended to rewrite, to deconstruct, and let people do and be whatever they identify as, say what they are, and that's what they actually become, to tear down family. This gets bandied about too often on some programs, but this is satanic, is what it is. This is Satan will try to undermine anything that is godly and good. And that is a big part of this, which is why you will see these different groups with one, feminists and Muslims together. Feminists and Muslims together. There are currently 10 women in Saudi Arabia who have a driver's license. Maybe there's more this week, but it was up to 10 last week. What do feminists say? Nothing. Because they're all fighting toward the same goal. Darkness fights against light.
The term intersectionality was coined by Kimberly Crenshaw, a professor of law at Columbia University. She explains that intersectionality was my attempt to make feminism, anti-racist activism, and anti-discrimination law do what I thought they should, highlight the multiple avenues through which racial and gender oppression were experienced. To Crenshaw, America is a terrible place full of victim groups, each with their particular set of grievances. Why shouldn't these victim groups get together and form a political coalition unified by the belief that the majority society has harmed them? That some professor tucked away in an ivory tower would come up with this nonsense is not surprising. What is surprising and disturbing is that so many people actually go along with it. America is the most open, least racist nation on the planet. that Professor Crenshaw is free to spin her nonsensical theories and get paid well for it should offer adequate proof of that. And since when do you have to live someone's experience in order to understand them? You don't have to live as a slave in order to understand that slavery is cruel and wrong. You don't have to live as a woman in order to recognize the evil of rape. Finally, and most important, intersectionality promotes the biggest hoax of all, that we aren't individuals who are to be judged on the basis of how we act, but are merely members of groups to be judged on the basis of our group identity.
That is intersectionality. Back to our textbook. It's being taught at a Christian university for Christian, not biblical, radically different Christian counseling. They've told us that oppression is a systemic issue. Not only that, it's violent. Quote, a concept related to social injustice and oppression is that of structural violence, sometimes referred to as institutional oppression. The marginalization that results from oppressive institutions. Structural violence results when social, political, economic, and other institutional entities and processes intentionally or unintentionally erect barriers to development, wellness, dignity, and human potential. Structural violence can be overt, although it is often covert, making it harder to detect. I fear that where this conversation is going, this just has to be broken down. Because a part of this argument, you get that. Of course we don't want barriers for people. Define a barrier. Define a barrier. If I go to apply for a job that's a 9-to-5 and I say, look, I'm a noon-to-8 kind of guy and they don't hire me, they didn't put up a barrier. It's the way they do it. That's the way it works. I don't conform. I don't get the gig. That's not a barrier. That's not oppression. So we need to define what these things are that they're calling barriers. We don't want human beings to not have dignity because they're image bearers. We want people to really exercise their actual potential and use their God-given gifts to make the planet a better place. To serve people, to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want all of that, but what's a barrier? Examples, here it is, of structural violence include providing insufficient funding to inner city and rural schools, limiting access to healthy and affordable food, accepting high unemployment rates for certain minority groups, limiting access to quality health care and preventative care, and making it difficult to find affordable transportation. I think we've been working toward virtually all of those pretty hard. Everybody's aware of that. One particular insidious example is the exclusion of gender reassignment surgery for transgender individuals. That's why we need to get into the details. What are you talking about? What are these barriers? What's this structural violence? Well, they would say that if you don't pay for somebody to become a different gender, so they think, well, then you're being violent. By oppressing somebody. But the devil is going to be in the details. It really is. And these generalizations I find to be so entirely unhelpful, which is why argumentation is the issue. That is the theme of this hour-long diatribe on the subject. Sharpen the argument. Get better at it. From the article. Privilege is made up of several components, such as having power, access, or unearned advantage and holding a majority status. No argument for me. Access relates not only to monetary and material possessions, but also to opportunities. Everybody wants equal opportunity. I don't think there's anybody opposed to that. Having connections, receiving favorable treatment, and possessing entitlement all relate to having an unearned advantage, whereas majority status has to do with being not only the majority in number, but also the majority in social standing and having the power to define who is who. Those things are privilege. You're right. And there's some people who've got more than me, and I've got some that are more than others. That's just the way that God has ordained the system. And I'm not going to be envious. I'm not going to covet my neighbor's privilege. One of the big issues that I think needs to be addressed in this cultural conversation about racism is the difference between external and internal. I have not read anything in any of these pieces of literature that even hint that there's an internal problem with some people who are saying that there's social injustice. Everything's external. Problem is out there. The problem is that people. The problem is that system. The problem is that program. Now, every Christian should be willing to deal with any sort of injustice if the case is made. My plea, make the case specifically, thoughtfully, not assumption, not reading hearts, not covert, but make it really clear. And I promise you, everybody will join in wanting to upend that sort of system in practice. But you've got to make the case. And might I also encourage, consider some transparency in saying there's some other reasons why some of these things are broken. Being willing to deal with some of the things as an internal problem and not merely as an external problem. And let the dialogue continue lovingly. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Thanks for being here today. We always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. You know, whether we call it a fight or an argument, a disagreement or a tussle, a skirmish, a clash, people sure do love to fight, argue, and separate. Christians too, I'm afraid. That's why there is the biblical doctrine of Christian liberty. It will help you, your family, even your church, deal with disagreements without ending up in a split, even when you are 100% right and they are completely wrong. Christian Liberty, Disagreeing on Matters of the Conscience, is our newest resource. Join Todd, Ty Blackburn, and Phil Johnson for the tools you'll need so that your family and your church won't end up being split. Christian Liberty, Disagreeing on Matters of the Conscience, is available right now at wretched.org/liberty. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.